You know, I went to a funeral yesterday, and it brought up some memories of my dad's funeral. And I remembered that my sister, you know, a lot of times family doesn't want to speak at a funeral, but my sister and brother both wanted to. I really didn't want to speak at that funeral, but they kind of, since everybody else was and they wanted me to, I did. But my sister's eulogy really struck with me, because what she did is she took just a lot of different sayings that my dad had. And my dad had a lot of little sayings. And they were truths that he just instilled in my life. When I was a boy, I don't know how many times I heard, if you don't control yourself, someone else will control you. Well, there is so much truth in that unfortunately I learned the wrong way. But if I didn't control myself, I ended up being controlled by other people. It's just a great saying that sticks with me. As I got older and I started to coach football, he would tell me a saying that is one that they had in West Point. And actually, that's one from West Point also. But rules without relationship always lead to rebellion. Isn't that interesting that that's what the Army teaches their officers at West Point, that rules without relationship always lead to rebellion. So when you're coaching, son, you got to remember that you can only set rules that go along with the depth of the relationship you have, or you're going to get rebellion from it when things go wrong. Not when things are going right, but when things go wrong. A lot of truth in that. A lot of truth in that. He had a lot of other sayings that he said. One I remember he said all the time, I'm a plotter. Some of you have heard me say that because I've heard it from him so many times and I've watched in his life. I've come to realize that anything that's done quickly, you know, the Bible's right that if wealth is gained quickly, it disappears. Anything that you're going to have that's going to last, it's got to have a foundation under it. Building a foundation takes time. And so if you really want something solid that's going to last, you have to plod along and do it slowly. I learned that great lesson from my dad. And I thought, you know, the power of those words that he spoke, and I'm not going to go through all of them that he said, but they're still with me because they have power. So I'm going to test you guys as we start off right here, and I'm going to test you with some to see how powerful these words have been in your life, that whether or not, without thinking, they come back to your memory just like this, because they are now a part of you. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to give the first part of this phrase. I want you to answer back out loud the second part, okay? Here's the first one. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Oh, good. Now, if we can't get that one, we're in trouble. I want to get one everyone could get. All right, here's the next one. This one might be a little harder for the kids. That's the way, Oh, so you didn't know that one, okay. Jingle bells, Batman smells. Oh, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Yeah. Melts in your mouth. Like a good neighbor. Help, I've fallen. The only thing we have to fear. Blood is thicker. It's raining. When it rains, the early bird, don't count your chickens, where there's a will, all good things, Rome wasn't built, absent makes the heart, idle hands, yeah, I don't like that one either. The grass is always greener, actions speak, faith can move, birds of a feather. Beauty is in the eye. All's well. We'll cross that bridge. Two wrongs. Never judge a book. You can't teach an old dog. Thy word I have hid in my heart. Oh, good. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord, the Lord will not hear me. If we confess our sins,
Ooh.
And to? Oh, yeah, good. Now, that's really good right there, because for a lot of people, the wisdom of this world, which some of those statements had a lot of wisdom in it, not the one about Batman, but the others. If I'm guiding my life, leaning on my understanding based upon other people's human reasoning, I'm always going to fall short of what God wants. But if I'm basing my life on what God says, and we're all going to sin, aren't we? I need to know what I need to do when I'm sin. When God convicts me, I need to know I got to confess it. And if I do, I need to know that He's what? He's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse them away. I need that part too, don't I? And so I need to know those things, and it's important that I have that wisdom of God. Words have power. The words of my dad still have power in my life. The words of Benjamin Franklin, some of which I quoted, have some power still in your life and how you think. But the words of God need to have the ultimate power. And if we're going to follow Christ, we have to plug into that power. The power of God's Word. We've been in a study about the foundations of living our faith out. And the first foundation that this world wants to erode away is the fact that God is the authority. God is the one who knows and understands what our lives need, how we need to live, what other people need from us, what will fulfill our hearts. The Bible is very clear that our hearts are deceptive. What I naturally think will satisfy me, most of us in this room are old enough to know that we fight and fight and fight and sacrifice to get to it, only to realize that what we sacrificed was more valuable than what we got. And so we need to find that place in our hearts where we realize that God knows best. And that He is the authority, and when He speaks, we're at our own peril if we ignore. The second thing that we looked at in this series is that God wants a personal relationship with us. He doesn't give us a rule book that we study, but He wants to speak through that word, and that word can become alive and powerful. Actually, God becomes alive to us as we listen to His word, as we obey His word, and as He fulfills His word in our life. We start to see that God is real and that He can be trusted. He wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Then we see that God's word last week is central to that personal relationship to Him. And that really we're kidding ourselves if we say, I follow Christ, but I don't know what He's telling me. How can I follow someone I don't listen to? How can I follow someone I don't hear? If I don't have God's commandments, how in the world am I going to follow Him? So if I'm going to follow Him, I have to have His commandments. I've got to take them out of that book, and I've got to put them into practice in my life and follow Him. And through that, I develop a personal relationship, because when God says, trust me, follow me, and I will provide for your needs as you do what I have planned for you, and we follow Him and we see Him do those things, protecting and providing and guiding us, we realize He's right here with us. He's right here with us. Now, this is what Jesus talks about when He says that he that hears me and obeys me builds his house on a what? Now, this is, how many of you would like to have a house like this? I'd like to live out there surrounded by water. To me, that looks cool. But I'll tell you what, you know you're going to get storms here. And if that's the ocean, which I believe it is, I got it off the internet, so I don't know it is, but I think it is, then it's going to get some high waves at times. And that foundation and that house will stand on a rock. But if you are foolish enough to build your foundation on the sand, that means that Jesus speaks, but you don't really hear. He says you got to have ears to hear. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. In other words, He's speaking, but everyone is not what? They're not really listening. And if you hear those words in one ear and out the other, and you don't obey him, you're not following him. And whatever you build in your life, the one thing God guarantees you is this: it will not stand. Jesus says, I didn't come to judge you, I came to save you. There's one who will judge you, and it's the words I've spoken, because those words are true. They stand true for eternity. They endure forever. Everything in our life wears out, but not God's word. If God's word tells us that if we do these things, it will end in destruction, it will end in destruction. He may put it off because of his love and patience, hoping that we repent. But God's word always comes true. If he tells us, if we ignore the important things that he tells us we must do in our lives, if we ignore those things, he tells us our lives will be eventually empty. And we will come to the realization that God knew what was best for us, and that we did not. A lighthouse is always built on a what? That's the second part. You know, when you read the words of Jesus, you notice that when he calls us, it is always to something more important than just our individual relationship with him. We are saved out of the loneliness and separation of the world where we truly are alone. No one truly loves us like God does in the world. We may think they do, but time will reveal no one loves us unconditionally except for God. He saves us out of that into a family of people who have his love in their heart, growing, who are able to love us more and more, so we are connected and we are surrounded, obeying and following and loving our Savior. And that rock of Christ and our connection and obedience to him will weather any storm. And we are not alone. We are together as the body of Christ. We're not a bunch of individual bodies of Christ. We together become Christ's body. And we shine that light when we're on the rock. We can't shine the light of Christ if we're not built on the rock. I can tell you about Christ. I can tell you about God. But if you look at my life and you can tell that I don't obey God myself, those words don't help you grow close to God. They inoculate you from the gospel. Because you look and you say, okay, I heard that, I get that, I see that, but I can see it doesn't work from the source. And so I can't really buy into that. If this person represents God, and they don't follow God, it's just words to them, then it must just be words to me. So a lighthouse has to be built on the rock. So we start off and we say, well, what kind of foundation have you built your life on? How solidly do you know that your life is in line with God's expressed purpose and desires for you? That's a question we all need to ask. Where is our attitude as far as our actually being a follower of Christ? When I honestly evaluate myself, am I mature in my relationship for desiring and following God and soaking everything up, or am I immature? Do I ignore what God says, or do I look for it? I wanted to be a football coach. So you know what I did? I went to Arkansas because at that time, Lou Holtz was the best technician. And I spent time with those coaches, and I spent time out there on the practice field, and I listened, and I took notes, and I tried to learn everything I could about football from Lou Holtz and from his staff. Because I knew that he knew what to do. I watched how he interacted with his players. Some of the rules and some of the things that he did, I did. Because I started to understand why he did them. If I'm serious about my faith, will not I do the same thing with Christ who came? Where is my foundation? As I grow to desire to be successful as a football coach, my desire to study, to know, to learn, to hear, it grew with it. The Bible tells us that he, speaking of God, holds everything together by his powerful word. He created the universe by it. Our souls are saved because of his word, his words of grace. Everything about our life is based upon the promises of God, what God says will come true. Not what we think God should do, but what God says will come true. So we need to know what God said. We were talking in a small group Saturday morning, and we were talking around this type of subject, and one of my favorite proverbs says this: people ruin their lives by their own choices and then are angry at the Lord. How many of you know somebody like that? In other words, I thought God said he would do this. And so I did it, and then it didn't come through, and now I'm mad at you because you didn't do it. When in actuality, God never said that. God was not leading them in that direction, but they had no idea because they didn't know God's word. They didn't study God's word. They didn't look at God's word. They just passed it off, and they leaned on their own understanding. I like this little picture right here. Hopefully you can see it. Yeah. It says, "Read me." If I'm going to follow Christ, I cannot have a Bible that's dusty enough that you could write "read me" in it. It has to be open. I have to be looking. Last week we ended with this verse: "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." You know, Jesus speaks like this, and all through the New Testament there are words like this. There's words like this in the Old Testament too, but this is the New Testament. And what it's telling us is this, is if God's word becomes implanted in my soul and I can hear God and understand what God wants for me, and I care more about what God says than what everyone else says, that my mind, that my will and my emotion, those things that Satan wants to lead me away with my desires, that those things can be saved by God's Spirit and his word coming alive in my heart. But it has to be implanted. That's an interesting way to say it. Even in the Old Testament, which Hebrews in the New Testament is quoting from, God says this: "But this is my new covenant." That's the age we're in. "That I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws" where? In their minds. Not on the table. "I will put their laws in my mind, and I will write them on their" what? Their hearts. "I will be their God, and they will be my people." Listen to the next verse. "And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will" what? They'll know me already. Why? Because they're hearing my voice and experiencing my power in their life as they obey me. It was never intended for us to experience Christianity through someone else. We're in a service right here. And in this service, we sung praises to God. And we were able to worship according to the experience and the ability of the contact that we have with God. Now we're in a place where we're opening the Word up. And this really is a time to stir your hearts, to go seek what God wants for you. If you come and hear God's Word here, and then wait till next Sunday to come and hear it again, and you think being excited about God's Word, or being convicted and feeling like I need to make a change, but all you're getting is that experience of feeling that God is true, but you're not experiencing the transformation of having your mind renewed that Romans 12 talks about, then you're not experiencing what God wants you to experience. He wants us to know Him. And when we follow Him, we know Him. This picture right here represents Moses climbing up Mount Sinai. Remember the first time that he did that? Well, second time. First time he went up there and got the burning bush, right? So he climbed up there and he heard God. The second time he comes, he's led Israel out of Egypt. And they all come around that mountain. And they purify themselves and they get ready for this experience. He goes up and God tells him, "Look, I want you to go down and tell the people. I'm going to speak to" who? Them. It's not good enough for me to speak to you, Moses, and you go tell them. They're not going to really experience me that way. I am going to speak to them. So 3 days from now, we got a big event going here. You got to cleanse yourselves and get yourself ready. Everything in your life that brings you pleasure, you need to put that aside and stop thinking about yourself, but you need to concentrate on me and what's fixing to happen, because I'm fixing to speak to you, and this is an awesome event. And then the third day comes, and the shofars are blown, the horns are blown, so the people come out of their tents, and God descends down on the mountain, and there's fire, and there's smoke billowing up, and there's lightning, and there's this earthquake, and the people are terrified. And what do they say? Moses, you go up there and talk to him. You come back and tell us what he said, because we don't want to go up there. We don't know what's going to happen to us if we go up there. And Moses says, no, God shows you his power in this way so that you will follow him, so that you will trust him, so that you will know this great, powerful God. If he is for you, then who could possibly be against you? Who would you fear besides God? No, no, no. They won't go. They're afraid of what's going to happen to them. And so Moses goes up, and he gets the word and brings it back down. And Moses experienced being with God, and so when terrible trials come, Moses is faithful. What about the people? When circumstances get tough, their immaturity in their relationship with God shows, and they fall away. God wants us to climb the mountain. This right here is a picture of some people climbing up the traditional site in Egypt, in the Sinai, of Mount Sinai. That may not be Mount Sinai, but there's a shrine there. You can climb it. And the mountains are similar. But they're climbing up that mountain. Let me tell you something. Listening to and obeying God's word is not easy. And people are afraid to dig in to hear what God is really saying to them, because it always involves a huge, significant change in their life. You know, when you start to read God's word and you start to look, he's going to say, you have to give me what? Oh, everything. And that's a scripture we should remember. No one can be my disciple unless he gives up what? Everything. Well, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time reading that one, at least not until I'm about 60 years old, because I got some things I don't want to give up right now. There's some fearful things that come when you think, I'm going to abandon myself to this God who is huge and tremendous, and it's scary. And it takes some work to climb up to get it. I have to seek for him with my whole heart before I'm going to find him? Man, I got a big schedule today. I'm playing golf at 2. Well, I don't play golf. I'm watching some TV. You know, whatever is going on there. But God wants us to climb the mountain. And let me tell you something. You cannot have a close relationship with God unless you climb the mountain. You can't rely on someone else to give it to you. You can get some comfort to get by, but that's a band-aid. God wants you to be an overcomer, because you have his word in your heart. Here's a picture of some people who've gotten to the top. They've climbed the mountain up here. You notice what's up there? If you can see it. There's some rest. For you ladies, there's a restroom. Okay? After a big, long, hard climb, how many of you ladies are glad that there's a little restroom up there? There's a place to refresh. There's a place that you can get some water. When we climb up to the top of that mountain with God and we hear his word and we have an experience with him, it's refreshing. He helps us. He builds us back up. And then we come back down. You know what these people are talking about? The experience that they had, the view that they had was incredible. I felt God's presence up there. That's why pilgrims make this journey. They've got something to share when they come down, because they were at a place where they were close to God. They climbed, they sacrificed, they paid for the airplane flight, for the bus that took them over there. And they sacrificed their time and their energy to get up to a place where God was. I love Psalms 119, 161, and 62. My heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. This is how God wants us to be. He wants us to realize that having a relationship with Him is so fantastic, it is so great, that there is nothing else in this world that we would desire above knowing Him. He wants us to know that there is no wisdom, there is no... We don't even need to spend time worrying, over-analyzing again and again and again what our solutions to the problems might be. We find God's wisdom and God's solution. His wisdom is nothing compared to ours. Being with Him, we find great treasure. 1 Peter 2:2 tells us, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. My wife has a Bible study that Lolita and Judy go to on Thursday night. I've got a men's group. I come home. They're all right in there talking around. I don't want to disturb them, so I go into my bedroom there, and I don't want to tell you what I'm doing. Sam, all right, I'm reading my Bible and praying, but I don't want to try to pretend like I'm spiritual because I don't always go in there and do that. But Robin comes in the room, and she says, "Have you heard?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "Well, I can't tell you." So I'm thinking, "Oh, what happened?" You know. So I go in there, and it's Judy in there, and Judy's giving her heart to Christ. Well, this is not the tragedy I was expecting, but. So we talk for a little bit, and Judy says, "What do I do now?" And I said, "Judy, you're already doing it. You're doing exactly what God wants you to do. You heard Him calling, and you followed. You saw where He was working, and you hooked your life in. You are reading your Bible. You are praying. You are surrounding yourself with people that you know are further along than you, that have God's wisdom to help you understand what God wants. You've gotten into groups. You've gotten into Bible studies. You're connecting with God's people. You're trying to apply it and love the people around you." That's all it is. And we grow and we grow and we grow. But as newborn babies, we have to desire that milk. And you can't understand what God is doing in your trials and tribulations when you're a newborn Christian. It takes some walking with God. But through that milk of that word, that understanding, we grow. It continues in verse 12. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be doing what? You ought to be teaching others. In other words, you've been a Christian long enough that you ought to know God's word enough that you know how to overcome the difficulties of life. So when someone who's younger than you comes by and they're struggling with something, you ought to know what to tell them. You ought to know how God works. You ought to be able to say, look at it from this perspective. This is what God is doing. Have you asked yourself this question? But, it says, instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. The most basic thing is you have to listen to it. You have to read it. You have to memorize it. You have to think about it. You have to understand it. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. The difficult things of understanding what God is doing in your life, you got to develop an understanding of God and His word to be able to see what God is doing in the tough times. For, it continues in verse 13, someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to what? They don't know how to do what's right. In other words, once we let God's word grow our hearts to become more and more mature in Christ and we understand Him more and the character of Christ is developed in us, we become able to see and understand and handle the pressures of life like Christ did. And so when something happens in my life, I know what God wants me to do so that He can work. When I was younger, difficult times would come and I would try to figure out what can I do to straighten this out? What can I do to survive? What can I do to make this right? What can I do to get peace here? What can I do? What can I do? I never thought about what God could do, and most of my efforts, even though they were very, very with good intentions, we're blocking the way of what God wanted to do. But once I got to a place where I could start, and I don't always do it, but I could start to see what God was doing in places, and I could say, okay, they did this, but God wants me to do that, irregardless of what they do, you start to see the power of God working, first in you and then in others. But God's word gives us the ability that we know what to do. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training, through discipline, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. In other words, God's wisdom speaks to us and we know the difference. You can't obey God until we first listen to His word. Prayer is when we talk to God. Meditation is when we listen to God. And we allow that word to come alive in our life, and we allow that word to speak to us. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light to shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. In His word, He reveals Himself to us. "Hold on to my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments and you will live. Get wisdom and understanding. Don't forget or ignore my words." Man, we do not hear that in the church enough. Do not forget or ignore my words. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Let me flip that around the other way. If you don't hide God's word in your heart, you will sin against Him. Sin is not doing a bunch of bad things. Sin is anything that separates me from God. Any attitude, any thought, any action I do that puts a wall between me and God is sin. Worry is sin. Anger is sin. Not the emotion of anger, but giving myself over to it. Holding attitudes of false guilt. I am separating myself from the way God wants me to think. But God's word has the ability to free me to see the truth. Like that verse we started off with. If we sin, what do? We confess it. Let me tell you, if we don't confess it right out there straight, if it's a half confession, if we try to hide it, if we try to justify it, we're not getting things straight with God, are we? When we sin, we confess it. And God tells us that we're going to have sin in our life. If we say we don't have sin, we're what? We're liars, the Bible says, and we're making God a liar. We all have sin. We all have areas of our life. God wants us to do things and we haven't done it, or we're not able to do it. But we confess those things, then He is faithful and just to forgive us, and He gives us the ability to cleanse us out of our lives because we're following Him. His word is a part of our life. We're growing in that. Without that word, without that growth, we're not on the process of being cleansed. Now, I was going to go through with you like I have before, and I'm not going to do it because I'm going to pull us to a close here. But many times you guys have seen how I read my Bible and I mark it. And I've got colored pencils, I underline, I've got a whole kind of things. Mark gave me a Bible that's very unique here not too long ago that's the Psalms. And it's got, this actually comes from Shelley's workplace. It's the Psalms and it's got different things in it that people have said, and I do the same way the Bible. I do it the same way with this one that I do with the others. I just started this one. I just start as I go through things that I think about, like forgiveness, God's will, material things, prayer, my speech, fear, mind, anger, thanks, peace. I just make something different, and I go through and I mark it. And then I come through, and I like my Bibles better than I like this, because this one I read what someone else thinks. But he's pretty good, so I like doing this one. This is the first one I've ever done that I've read through like that. This one right here, it doesn't have any notes in it. This one is what God thinks. And I go back through and I'll flip, and sometimes I'll look and I'll say, man, I'm struggling with peace in my life. So I'll just look through, and everything that's circled in blue, it circled and colored in light blue, the word peace, I'll just go through, and you would be surprised. In 10 minutes, I can get every verse in the New Testament about peace. And read them all. And start to see the perspective of what God is saying in a way that if I didn't take the totality of what God was saying and put it in front of me and look and dig that out, would never see it. I see new things that are in there. God is able to speak to me as I grow because I dig into His word. I would encourage you to get colored pencils and to get your Bible and start marking it up and make your own cross-references and dig into God's word and start looking at it as a whole and let Him speak to you. The Holy Spirit fell upon those who what? Who heard the word. You want to change your life? Change the way you think? Have your mind renewed? Not be conformed to the world? Really be a living sacrifice? Not one just in word, but in deed? You have to meditate on God's word every day. You have to abide in his word and keep yourself under that protective cover of his love. Well, let's pray. Father, this is a time where we have just come together and we have just wanted to stop and look at what we as your children need to grow and to become the masterpiece you created us to be. Father, we know that you love us more than anything on earth could ever love us. Even my mother that loves me so much does not love me as much as you do. Your plans for me are great, and I want to know them. I want to please you by fulfilling everything in my life that you created me to be. Everything that you died on the cross to wipe away and to pay for my sins so that I might follow you and be free as your child. And so I give my heart to you. I thank you for your gracious forgiveness. And I ask you to speak to me. I ask you to give me the discipline to listen and to dig to find you. I thank you, Father, because you are worth every effort that I put into building my relationship with you. And I ask you to help me to establish that relationship, because only you can help me to grow and see things that I cannot see. Work in my life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.